Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, if there's anything that living through this pandemic has taught us, it's that we need God and His Word, the Bible, more than ever. And because of this, Pastor Rick has decided to bring us the third installment of his powerful series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. Stay with us as we begin our series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's number one best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Keeps Me From Playing God in the Lives of Others.
Hello, everybody. I want to thank you for tuning into this special series on Principles for Living Through a Pandemic. So far, we've covered a lot of ground. Now, this is the 19th message in this series. Now, remember, the book of James is about having the kind of faith that works when life doesn't. And he was writing to people who were under major stress at that time. So it applies to us as we are dealing with COVID-19. Now, when the pandemic started and I began this series, I told you that it's the job of medical experts to help you avoid getting the COVID-19 viral disease. But it is my job as a pastor to help you cope with the emotional dis-ease of this pandemic. It's my job to help you deal with the stress that this pandemic is creating in your personal life and in your finances and in your relationships and in your work or school and your family life, all of the things that are stressing you out because of the changes. Fortunately, the book of James has a lot to say about these very practical areas of your life. Now, I thought this week that since we're about two-thirds through this series of studies, I'd just pause and remind you of what we've already covered. So if you missed any of it, you can go back and listen or watch these previous messages. Now, every message dealt with a different emotional problem. If you're feeling upset by this pandemic, you need to listen to the very first message in the series. It's called A Faith That Walks Through the Valley of Virus. If you're struggling with worry, you need to go to the second message in this series, A Faith That Isn't Troubled by Troubles. If you feel indecisive, you're having a hard time making a decision because the future is cloudy, check out the message, A Faith That Makes Tough Choices Easier. If you feel overwhelmed or stuck in some old patterns, I urge you to listen to the fourth message in this series, A Faith That Overcomes Bad Habits. Now, of course, we've all had losses. We've missed events that we wanted to go to. And if you're grieving about something you've lost, check out the fifth message in this series, A Faith That Expects a Resurrection, if you're grieving. And if you feel like you're just drifting through this COVID-19 crisis, listen to the message, A Faith That Anchors Me in Storms. Now, James is very, very practical. In the first part of the book, he deals with personal stress. Like, have you been more irritable lately? Short-tempered? Check out the seventh message called A Faith That Stays Calm in a Crisis. And if you're feeling depleted and you're worn out and out of energy, check out both part one and part two of A Faith That Leads to Emotional Health. If you want to know how to treat other people during the pandemic, you now want to check out message number 10, A Faith That Shows Respect to Everyone, and message number 11, A Faith That Loves My Neighbor as Myself. Now, if you need faith to strengthen yourself when you're getting more bad news every day, you need to watch or listen to the message, Real Faith versus Fake Faith. Now, the first part of the book deals with these personal stresses, but in the middle of the book of James, he moves to advice about interpersonal stress, and he starts talking about how to improve our relationships, even in stressful times that increase conflict. And so we have done a series of messages on relationships. Message 13 was called A Faith That Plants Seeds of Peace. when you're having trouble with in your family or in your work or whatever. Message 14 was called a faith that de-escalates conflict. And message 15, a faith that handles delays patiently. And then the next message was called a faith that helps me filter what I say, because our mouths get us in trouble when we get under stress and we say the wrong things. And the following message after that was a faith that makes me more merciful. Finally, last week's message was called a faith that keeps me hopeful when I feel like giving up. So I want to thank you for joining me in this series. And if you missed any of these messages that I just mentioned, you can watch the videos online or you can listen to the audios online at Daily Hope, which is at PastorRick.com. Now, today we're going to continue studying how to improve relationships, even in the middle of difficult times. Because when we're tired, when we're fatigued, when we're under long-term stress, it often brings out the worst in us. And we can become irritable, we can become touchy, rude, demanding, judgmental of others. And that's why James comes back a second time to deal with the issue of not judging others. And I'm calling this message today, a faith that keeps me from playing God in the lives of others. A faith that keeps me from playing God in the lives of others. And our text for today is James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Let me read it to you. Brothers and sisters, never say bad things about each other. Anytime you speak against fellow believers, or you judge and you badmouth them, you judge and condemn God's law. And when you judge God's law, you aren't keeping it yourself. Instead, you set yourself up. You set yourself up as the judge. Remember, God is the only true lawgiver and judge, and He alone has the authority to save or destroy. So then, who are you? And what gives you the right to pass judgment on others? Well, that's a pretty straightforward passage, and we're just going to take those two verses and look at the implications today. What I want to do today is answer three important questions. Number one, why are we so quick to judge other people? Why do we do that? Number two, why should I not be judgmental of others? Why should I not judge others? And number three, this is the important one that I want to get to. How can I learn to be less judgmental? All right? So let's get into this study, James chapter 4. First, why are we so quick to judge others? Well, in that passage that I just read, James says there are two reasons why we tend to be judgmental of others. And the first one is guilt, our own guilt. Write this down. We want to excuse our own failures. We want to excuse our own failures. You know, when Adam, who was the first man who sinned, he did two things. He excused his own sin, and he accused Eve of being the cause of his sin. And ever since that time, it's been human nature to accuse and excuse. Accuse and excuse. We make excuses for our own behavior, and we accuse others of something worse. Now, that doesn't work, but that's where judgmental comes from. First, when we feel guilty. Romans chapter 2, verse 3, I love this in the Message and the NIV. It says, when you, a mere human, pass judgment on others, do you think that by pointing your finger at others, you will distract God from seeing all your misdoings and keep Him from judging you? He said, what are you trying to do? Just distract God by judging other people? You know, anytime you hear a leader or a politician or anybody else condemning or judging the attitudes or the behaviors of other people, you can be sure they're hiding things they don't want judged. It's a diversion. It's cover-up. They're trying to take all the attention off their own obvious faults that they feel guilty about. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work for two reasons. First, God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't compare us to each other. Jesus is the standard of perfection. So God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't say, well, you did better than that person. Second, it's like the old child's game that when you point a finger at someone, you still have three fingers pointing back at yourself. after doing years of counseling of other people, I've learned that a lot of people who think they have a clear conscience really just have a poor memory. And so we judge other people because we want to get the guilt off of us, and we want to distract, and we want people to think about other people, not our problems. The second reason we are quick to judge is pride. Pride. And it's, write this down, we want to feel superior to other people. It makes me feel better, I think, about myself if I could put somebody else down, or I can point out a sin that they have that I don't. You need to be sure that whenever you see a person who's always criticizing, they're always judging, they're always trash talking, you can be sure they feel very insecure. And they try to puff themselves up by putting other people down. People who are secure in their own identity, they don't need to badmouth other people to feel better about themselves. So guilt causes us to judge others, and pride causes us to judge others. Now, the worst form of pride is religious pride, spiritual pride. The Bible calls this the sin of self-righteousness. You see, real Christ-like faith makes you more humble. It makes you more gentle. But self-righteous faith makes you more arrogant and more stubborn and more critical and more judgmental. And you know people like that, and you know you've been guilty of it yourself. And you know, Job's friends in the book of Job were guilty of judging Job's situation incorrectly because they just wanted to feel better about themselves. Job 19, verse 5 says this. Job says, talking to his friends, "You are trying to make yourselves look better than me by using my disgrace, using the problems in my life as an argument against me." He said, you know what? It's not just guilt, it's pride. And you want to make yourself look better, so you're judging me. By the way, this is why people gossip, okay? Because they want to look feel better than other people. And they get a perverse pleasure in reading about the downfall or the peccadilloes or the problems of other people because they think it makes them feel they're better. And God condemns all of that gossip. In fact, God condemns gossip many, 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 many times in the Bible. Gossipers are both prideful and insecure. By the way, you can be certain that people who gossip to you are also gossiping about you, guaranteed. If they gossip to you, they're gossiping about you. So you should not listen to gossip. It's stolen goods. So these are the reasons, guilt and pride, why we tend to be judgmental of others. Why should I not judge others? Well, James, in chapter 4, points out three reasons in these two verses. First, he says, judging others is unloving. It's unloving. You can't love somebody and judge them at the same time. It's the opposite. Judging is the opposite of Jesus' great commandment, which James calls the royal law. The great commandment is the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that. You can't act loving towards somebody while you're judging them at the same time. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we covered chapter 2, verse 8, where James says, the royal law found in Scripture is love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, if you obey this law, you do the right thing. You're doing the right thing. It's always the right thing to love your neighbors yourself. But now, a couple chapters later, in chapter 4, he adds these words, James 4:11. Anytime you speak against fellow believers, or you judge, you badmouth them, you judge and condemn God's law. What law? The royal law, love your neighbors yourself. He says, you're breaking the great commandment every time you judge. You know, I once heard a story one time about a woman who told her pastor, "Pastor, I have the gift of criticism." Now, of course, that's not a spiritual gift in the Bible. So the pastor said, "Well, that is one talent you should bury. Go bury that gift, the gift of criticism." All right? So judging others is unloving. The second thing that that James says is that judging others is God's job, not mine. It's God's job, not mine. And he points this out in the next verse, verse 12. Here's what he says. Remember, God is the only true lawgiver and judge. That word lawgiver, I think, is only used 5 times in the Bible, 4 times in the Old Testament, and this 1 time in the New Testament. God is the only true lawgiver and judge. He alone has the authority to save or destroy. So then James says, so then, who are you? And what gives you the right to pass judgment on others? Huh? Now, I want you to write this down, because this is the whole message in a sentence. Anytime I judge other people, I'm playing God. I'm playing God. You know, my family likes to play games, and at every holiday, they break out all the board games and the card games, and they play. Let me tell you one game you should never play, playing God. Okay? Anytime I judge others, he says, there's only one judge. There's only one lawgiver, God. It says, let God be God. God is God and you're not. And he says, don't. Anytime I'm judging others, I'm playing God. Paul says the same thing in Romans 14. Look at this verse, Romans 14, 4. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So if I look at you and I judge you, God says, they're not your servant, Rick. They're my servant. They're the Lord's servant. I will judge them, not you. Okay? So he says, judging others is unloving, but he says, judging others is God's job, not mine. And then the third thing James says is this, judging others is unchristian. You call yourself a Christian? Well, Christians are to be like Christ.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so glad you're with us today. And if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today. But first, as one of the best-selling nonfiction books in history, with more than 50 million copies sold in all formats and more than 70 translations available, The Purpose-Driven Life by Pastor Rick Warren is far more than just a book. It's the roadmap for your spiritual journey, a journey that will transform your life. In The Purpose-Driven Life, you'll find answers to 3 of life's most important questions. The question of existence, why am I alive? The question of significance, does my life matter? The question of purpose, what on earth am I here for? You'll also discover the 5 benefits of knowing your purpose. The Purpose-Driven Life is designed to be read daily in 42 short chapters that will inspire you to stop and realize how God uniquely designed you for a purpose only you can fulfill. It also includes links to 3-minute video introductions to each chapter and a 30 to 40 minute audio Bible study message for each chapter, along with appendixes and questions for further study and additional resources. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, one of the things that really thrills me is when I hear from you and you tell me that you're sharing what I'm sharing with you with other people. In other words, you're passing it on. That makes us partners in ministry. Today, I want to share with you a note from Ty, who listens regularly to Daily Hope, and then he passes it on to others. Here's what he wrote me. Pastor Rick, in today's podcast, you asked for listeners to share with you who we have introduced Daily Hope to. Well, I've done that a lot. I've shared your messages with dozens of men at the recovery ministry of my local church. And after completing the program myself, I'm leading the next group of believers walking through the 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery. And I usually have some wonderful insights to share that come to me from your Daily Hope messages. I'm also recommending your messages to my father, who is now a fervent listener as well. We call and we text each other often to discuss what we're learning. He says, Rick, my father recently gave me a signed copy of The Purpose-Driven Life as a gift to commemorate my 1 year of sobriety. I consider it a prized possession, and I display it proudly in my office. Well, Ty, God bless you, and thank you for your note. I'm just so glad to hear about what God is doing in your life, in your relationship with your dad, in your sobriety, in your steps of recovery, and in your ministry to other people. This is what Daily Hope is all about. We're in this together. I help you through these broadcasts so you can help others. Good work, my friend.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.